August 4th, 2019, for taking purposes. At this time, if you would, let's mark our songbooks at number 687. 687 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 141. 141. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Our studies over the last few weeks of time have been in regard to the textual studies of the Bible about the Father, God the Father in heaven, and His relationship to mankind. Jesus, the offering of God's Son in His relationship to mankind. And today, the Holy Spirit and His relationship to mankind. If you would turn with me, and your Bible is right there in the pew if you don't have your personal copy with you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is our place of beginning today. In reference to the presence of the Spirit of God in our daily walk of life, Paul had written in regard to the brethren at Rome and how that they were blessed by way of that relationship they had when they were baptized into Christ, buried with Him by baptism into death, and raised to walk in newness of life. This newness of life is described as we go along here in 1 Corinthians in reference to the way of life that we live from day to day with the Spirit of God, a part of our daily walk of life. When we think about the Holy Spirit, sometimes we're prone to think only in regard to the miraculous side of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost gave them the words that they were to say. And thus the people were surprised and amazed that they could speak in languages they had never studied. How do they say in our tongues the wonderful works of God? Acts 2 verse 11. And Peter explained to them that this was by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, as Joel had predicted, that Joel said that the Holy Spirit would be sent and would guide them. And as a result, this is that which was spoken by Joel back in Joel 2, 28 through 32. And so Joel the prophet predicted that the Holy Spirit would come, guide those men into all truth. And as He guided them into all truth, there was a way of life that they were to teach and to follow. He would give them that message. Jesus had talked about the Holy Spirit coming in John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit would cause them to remember the words that Jesus had taught. And as a result, they would teach it wherever they went. And here's a place where Paul went, to Corinth. And as a result of this, he wrote back to the brethren here and reminded them of the things that they obtained and how they were to maintain them. And how they maintain them is in regard to the work of the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, God knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." God the Father is with us. The Son is with us. And here he says the Spirit of God is with them as well. Verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Most of the scholars look at this from the standpoint of the plurality of the statements being made and mention that this passage of Scripture is in reference to the body of Christ, the church of the Lord, how the Spirit is with us today as we worship, with us as we gather and assemble, with us as we go forth in the world in which we live. And as a result, the Spirit of God is a part of this which is represented the temple of God. We've often told brethren through the years as they go along through in life that if they find themselves in sin and wrongdoing, that's going to be publicly known, and it's going to be something that is so well known, it's going to bring harm upon the church, harm upon the temple of God, defile the temple of God as we live that way. Then let everybody know. And let everybody know that I did not wish to do that. I did not wish for that to happen. I wish that I would have your prayers with me, that I might be faithful to God now on in my daily walk of life and be forgiven of how I have lived and mistreated the temple of God in days gone by. And as a result of that, there is forgiveness to be done, and who among us cannot say that that may be the case in our lives? Sometimes there are things that we may be doing, or do, in which we are not aware of the fact that it's so broad spread that there are a lot of people who are aware of that fact and aware of that fact that we claim to be Christians, we claim to be a part of the temple of God, and yet we're doing this way of life that they object to and they say is not right and not good, though they do not practice it themselves. They're not influenced for good's sake by way of our daily walk of life. And so it is, we need to think about where we are, what we've done, what we said, and how we behave in regard to how influential it will be against the cause of the body of Christ. Someone would say, "I don't desire to be a part of that congregation. I don't desire part of that group of folks because they'll say and do not. They'll do not these things that are right and good," and I know that's the case. I was a young preacher and worked in a congregation. And he was not informed of the congregation that there were sinful plays being done by individual brethren in the congregation. He moved in there with all good ways and preached the gospel in such a mighty and good way. The brethren loved him deeply, were grateful for his preaching and his teaching of the word that was there and all that went along with it. However, in the general public, as he was going out to work among the general public and teach them and work with them the gospel, that they might come into the body of Christ, not our church, the Lord's church, and the Lord's way, the Lord's temple, the way that we would worship God together would be good and come and be with us. They rejected that because in that congregation of which you're preaching, there's sin among you so bold and so outward that we do not wish to be a part of it. He inquired further in regard to what sins there were, what kind of things were being practiced by people in a very, what they thought, quiet way, and yet a very public way with the general public. Once he found out that that was the case, he began to approach the brethren in regard to their sinful ways and how repentance was so necessary for their lives. Did they take that to be the case and take that to be a need and, boy, we need to be right with God and we need to do what's right with God? They did not. They were all together and decided to fire him, relieve him, get him gone from the world, which enhanced the fear of the people and the general public even more, because they knew this man was preaching truth, teaching the Bible, reading the Word of God to them, and yet they did not want to practice that way of life with those people because they were practicing sin there and they were not saying anything to one another. That's a shame. It's a terrible thing to help the body of Christ not to grow in that place, not to be the kind of people that they all ought to be in that place because of sin that was in the camp, as it were described by Moses in regard to the long ago. Sin in the camp. The time and occasion for that would be terrible ways of life. We need to have this Spirit of God to be represented in a good way. But lest we think that it's just the overall church that he's talking to here, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and let's take a look at the individual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 14. In 1 Corinthians 6 at 14 we read, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, and he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Know ye not? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We match up with the idea of what we're thinking within ourselves, the thought processes, our spirit of life. Now, you can't reach out and talk about the spirit when you tap your hand or your head, or even for that fact, when you tap any part of the outward of the body. But you can think, I have a spiritual part within me as my mind, my heart of hearts, is thinking. And what does that spirit within me say to do? Does it tell me to tell lies, falsehoods, to be bound with a harlot, to a way of life of sin and wrongdoing? Or does it tell me, hey, your body, just like the temple of God is there with you and you're part of that, and you represent the cause of God's Holy Spirit when the temple of God is with you. So it is that you individually have the Spirit of God within you. The temple of God is within you, and that temple has the Spirit of God within your spirit. And he closes that idea in verse 20. He says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God owns our spirit. And he owns our body. And so we're to do the kind of things that the Spirit of God would remind us of. Now, how does the Spirit of God remind us? Paul had already reiterated that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he had told them that the Spirit of God revealed in words which we speak unto you. What did the Holy Spirit do? He gave words. Did he give the words to you and me to write down? No, he gave it to the inspired apostles to write down. They wrote down that word, and this message of 1 Corinthians is written to them and reminding them that the Spirit of God has written this word, and this word now we preach unto you. Thus, as we preach this word, we remind you, 1 Corinthians 3, that you're the temple of God, and that place represent God in a public way. And individually, you're the temple of God, represent God in your individual making decision way of life. That's the way to do. For if you are bound in that way, and your spiritual way thinks that way, guess what we will be doing? We'll be feeling guilty when we say wrong things, when we do wrong deeds, when we act in the wrong way. And we'll be people who are sorry about it before God. We'll be people who pray about it before God. And in Romans chapter 8 and verses 8 and 9, we read about this, that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He shall also raise your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Tells us how the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit down to that tomb and rolled that stone away. And here it is that he called Jesus back to life. The spirit within Jesus was awakened. He was back to life. He got up from death. Took off the grave clothes and folded them and put them into place. And walked out of that tomb. So there's Mary arrived. And saw that he was not there. The angel would say to her, "Why seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen as he said. He goeth before you." He's leading your way. He still goes before you. You go and tell the disciples. And they did. In Mark chapter 16, we have reference to him. This woman coming to the disciples and saying to him, "He's not there. He's risen as he said he is risen." And they thought it was mockery and an idle tale. And they didn't believe it none. Those were men with whom Jesus had worked 3 years. Steadily. What did they do to the Spirit of God resting within them? They were grieving. Ephesians 4 and beginning at verse 24. They were grieving this Holy Spirit of promise. By whom they were sealed unto the day of their redemption. They were grieving him. They didn't believe it. But she so challenged them with this idea. She so challenged them that Simon Peter would run out of that room and run up there to see if that tomb was really empty. And John would run, and he was faster runner, and he would outrun him to the tomb and enter. No, he didn't. He was right there at the tomb and right there and ready to go. And as they went in, it was empty. He was not there. As he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days, so will the Son of Man be in the earth. You might word the word only 3 days. Because he's now not there. He told the disciples, "I'll send the Spirit to guide you in remembrance of the things I've said to you." Now they went back to the others and said, "He's not there. We didn't steal his body away like the enemy said that we would steal his body away and pretend that he was resurrected." And they remembered what he said. And he did what was said. How'd the Father do that? If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, Romans 8. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he shall also raise your mortal body. How's our mortal body put to death? Well, many times in life we find ourselves in a mortal body. We're in mortal bodies this morning as we gather here. Our inner man is hopefully praising God and worshiping God and enjoying the study of the presence of the Holy Spirit within that inner man today. Here we are, and here we are thinking about the things eternal, the things of God, and the wonderful ways of life that we can live by. This Spirit of God revealed this Word that we can follow. And as we do that, we can bear the fruit of the Spirit in the daily walk of life. Would you turn with me as a close today to Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament of our Bible, Galatians 5, and we'll begin there at verse 21. He says in verse 21, "Envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Why is he reminding the brethren at Galatia of those type of hideous and terrible and wrong things? Because there's only two ways of life that we live. We live bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or we live doing the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, verse 19. And these are works of the flesh. We cannot remain in them and be found admittance into the kingdom of God. Now he says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law." How much practice can you practice of love? Any amount you want to. Joy, how much joy can you have? Any amount you want to. Peace, how much peace can you have? Any amount. There's no law against being peaceful. Now then, our next lesson study in this regard is in regard to God and how He wanted people to live in government here upon this earth. God wanted people to have freedom of choice. We have our election coming up this week, on Tuesday of this week. Don't forget who's running. Don't forget their goals and their ideals in life. And vote appropriately. Regardless of the party of which they may be a part of, vote. And which one you've done in days gone by, vote. So that you'll represent the cause of God in their lives and their way. Now, we're talking about what God's will is in regard to this. And God said that there's such a thing in Romans 13 as righteous conflict. Some of you have been a part of righteous conflicts in days gone by. You've objected to those who hurt others, harm others, keep others from knowing truth and righteousness. That's not of God. And such should be punished. Such should be rejected. Such may be rejected to the point where they bring out weapons and try to defend their way of life, and that's not right and good. But back to this point in time, when we practice the works of the flesh, there are ways of life that are sinful and wrong, but these things against their such there's no law. Do as much love and joy and peace and righteousness and self-control, temperance, as you can do. That's the way of the Spirit of God bearing fruit in our daily walk of life. Let's enjoy that relationship with God in His right way and righteous way as we live. How do we begin that way? Well, back to Romans chapter 6 this moment. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were buried with Him by baptism into His death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Now, does that give new meaning to you in Romans chapter 8 of how Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also resurrect your mortal bodies. He will help us up from the sins and wrongdoings of our life. He will help us up from the deliverance of death. He will help us up. And we can go with Him eternally into that fair city. This morning in our Bible class time, we called upon us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he makes reference to this matter, that we live in this body of which it is earnestly groaning, desiring to be clothed upon with our beauty which is from God. We get older, we get more decrepit, we get more of a pain. But our inner man is being renewed, he said there, day by day. How's the inner man being renewed day by day? By following the word of the Lord, which the Spirit of God has revealed unto us. Let's be the people that if we're not bearing enough of that example to others, let's bear more of the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk of life. Once again, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace. How many families couldn't be better blessed by all those things? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. How many communities could not be blessed by practice of those things more in life? Meekness and temperance. How many individuals could not be more at peace within themselves with the fruit of meekness and self-control? That's the fruit of the Spirit in their daily walk of life. So whether it's the community in which we live, the homes that we have, or the individual decision making that we do, the Spirit of God's teaching in His Word is the thing to guide us all the way through. Thank you for listening and studying with me today in these texts of the Bible. I hope that you can take them with you and then rehearse them once again and look at the writing of 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in reference to this matter, and Galatians chapter 5, and begin to bear more the fruit of the Spirit as you live from day to day. No matter what's done to you, no matter what's said to you, no matter how you mistreat it, be a person of joy, love, and joy, peace and gentleness, long-suffering, because that's the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk of life. People will see that around us. They'll be influenced for God's sake. They'll want to also be Christians too, because of the example that you show under dire circumstances, that I didn't get into cussing, I didn't get into profanity, I didn't get into hatred, I didn't get into bitterness, I didn't get into wrath, I got into love and peace and joy a lot more. If you accept Jesus' invitation today, would you come to Him in repentance and prayer? Would you come to Him and be restored? Would you come to Him and be baptized into Christ today to begin that new walk of life? Paul wrote there in Romans 6 and 16, "And Father and God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin." When were you made free from sin? When I was baptized into Christ. You were made free from sin. You become the servants of righteousness. When you serve what's right, how do you know what's right? The Holy Spirit revealed it in words. That's written right there in our New Testament of the Bible. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come to Him today as we stand and as we sing together.
Of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way, hearken the loving call, obey, come for He loves you so, only a step, only Jesus, same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come.
Don't forget our regular services tonight at 6 o'clock. Look forward to you being with us at that time as we go again in a textual study of God and government tonight. God bless you.
Sunday number 380. This song will be read for
there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first